poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to your poetry addiction. We are World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, poet in residence at Kitty's Theater South. No, they don't actually pay me, but I get all the free adult movies I want. And as a side perk, I get to know a lot of the local politicians. And on my left-hand side, he's the poet in residence at the Lion's Lair. He gets a lot of good local music. Tuesday nights, he gets a free buffet. And then Monday nights, he gets all-you-can-eat burlesque dancers.
Cannibal jokes. Just so many cannibal jokes. I don't even know what to do with it. You do it one time.
Right?
One time, and suddenly, now I'm a cannibal.
Yes.
It was an experiment. It was like a college phase, only I was hungry and locked in a studio.
I've been listening to a lot of poetry radio other than us,
yeah.
And they make a big deal about being poets in residence. And I got myself one. I got you one. I actually got the Haiku Master his own residence, too.
Really?
Yes. He's the poet in residence at Costco in River Point.
Oh.
He gets free snacks during the day, and during the night, he gets to play with the electronics as long as he puts them back before they open up the next morning.
That sounds about right.
You know what? Can I just come join you there? Because I want to just ditch Three Kings.
Okay.
There you go.
If, you know, we might find a secret space. We can put like a huge TV.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that would be cool.
We got plenty of TVs there.
And be playing Christmas music.
And the one at River Point also has a liquor store.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, they do.
I could see
Dude,
this.
There's
How
microwaves.
Could this not
there's wash machines. There's beds. There are TVs. What more do you need?
You
there's
literally
fresh
do
meat.
Not have to leave Costco for months.
Yeah.
What about taste? Like just genuine, like artistic taste. Do they have that in Costco?
No.
I don't know.
Okay, no, that might be my problem.
There's a
but we can
the
decorate.
Market on that. Yeah.
What about clothes that don't make me look like an idiot? Do they have those in Costco?
I don't think those have been invented yet.
Oh, yes, they have. Yes, they have.
Oh.
It's called a banana suit.
All right, so what we do here, aside from crazy comedy, is we do poetry, and we have three great sponsors that help us out with this. HollywoodMemorabilia.com. You're going to want to check them out. You want items signed by the celebrities to give out as good Christmas presents? It's your source for it. You want guitars signed by famous people for music? It's your source for that as well.
You want guitars signed by people who aren't famous? You can probably find a few on there.
I'll sign one for you if you'd like. Just buy the guitar. I'll bring it. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So, HollywoodMemorabilia.com. We love you guys. Thank you for helping out the show. Also, KNET Books. You know, you want to be smart when you're writing your poetry. Witty. You want to know what you're talking about. KNETBooks.com has your solution for that. Any level, if you're starting out in Remedial like me, or if you're in Masters, they've got everything you need.
You know, one thing I would say about when you're reading, this is just me, and this is why something like KNET Books makes so much sense, is I learned a while ago that if you're really trying to learn about a subject, you don't read one book. You don't read just a couple books. You find multiple books that eclipse the same subject that give you different points of view, so you can actually understand where things are coming from. Because a lot of times, one book, even though it could be informative, it is not enough to teach you about the real subjects. Like, I love history.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm studying about the life of Beethoven. Reading about four or five different books about his life actually fit together in very different ways. And it's startling how different it can be, even the same life and the same facts. So for me, something like Keynet Books works because I don't have to break the bank and I have to go buy five or six books. And I can pace myself and do it well.
So it's kind of like reading Twilight from Bella's perspective and then reading it from Edward's perspective, right?
And then reading 50 Shades of Grey and then suddenly wondering, what am I doing with my life as a 35-year-old man? And then, and then just not believing in love anymore.
But you can love Keynet Books. Check them out, keynetbooks.com. Also, naturebox.com, our longest supporter. Definitely check them out. You want to live a long time to regret your decisions as a 35-year-old man. You want to be healthy, gluten-free, GMO-free, definitely not flavor-free. Check them out, naturebox.com.
It's like Mother Nature created a box full of food. And now it's available to you.
I have to spoil some fun for you.
What's
real
that?
Quick.
What's that?
Mother Nature created a sphere.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. It creates a, I understand why it created
a
sphere.
Ooh, check out
I understand
see
the
if
physics.
Mother Sphere is taken as a web address.
Mother Sphere?
Yeah.
All right. Actually, that would be a really good. All right. I'm looking that up right now.
While that's being looked up, I'm going to fill you in on the rules. You're going to want 1 to 3 minute long poetry. You want it clean of the magical F-bomb for the first segments because we are doing After Dark later on in the show. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to call in. You're going to have hate-free speech poetry. If you have a good flow going, of course we'll let you go around the time limit. I don't think we've ever really stopped anybody as long as they've got a good flow going. And then, you know, we're going to do our return engagement segment. That way everybody can partake a second time. And then if you have adult poetry or want to share a third time, we're going to be doing After Dark after that.
Adult poetry seems strangely like 13-year-old poetry, doesn't it?
Well, mine is 13-year-old poetry because I really haven't progressed past 13 years old.
You know what? Honestly, I hang out with a lot of 13-year-olds at where I work, I would agree.
Thanks. I think. All right. So we're going to want 5 callers. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Give us 5. Meaning at the Hall of Justice, we've got 5 great poets lined up for you. I'm so excited for the show. Work with a couple of the greatest guys in poetry radio. It's not even work anymore. It's just you show up and you listen to some great poetry. Much like this poet from Michigan, he's our longest supporter of our show, been on board since week 2. Please welcome Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello, back. My friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's good to be part of your 4th year.
No yes. kidding. That's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it?
Year 4, week 1. Mm-hmm.
And this is when we go off the rails.
Like we haven't already?
We're still
right.
here. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's Friday night, and we look forward to you every Friday night. And I'm glad to be part of it. I have a poem to share with you. The title is Intrusion.
All right.
And it goes like this. Irritating abscess. In the shell of a clam, is surrounded by a neutralizing agent, coating and soothing this uninvited intrusion. Slowly, it is transformed into a beautiful pearl. That's the end.
Very well done, Dennis. Your work always puts a smile on my face and gets me thinking.
Well, yeah, I hope so. That's what we do for each other.
Yes, you are quite the inspiration. I thank you very much for your support for it going into 4 years now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, and it will continue, and thank you so very much. I'll get off the line and say God bless.
God bless, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Just a, and I'm saying this sarcastically, just a small part of our family here at World Poetry.
Yeah, a huge part of our family.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, he's the trunk of our family tree. No, that's not a very much good compliment.
Relax, and your family is all the trunk.
Yes.
All right. What? Oh, wait.
All right, so we do have another poet, another great family member. Please welcome, from New York, she is Lorraine.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, how are you?
Just fine. You know, I didn't get through, I don't believe, last week, but it was so good to hear the archives, and I've got that down, thanks to Barbara, and a shout-out to her. But I figured out how to do that, so that's a good thing. I don't know if the air around, you know, the atmosphere is a little somber tonight or whatever, but I'm going to go with something. I was in the city on 9/11 when that happened at Tower One, and I wrote this thing. I don't think I've read it before, but it's called Echoes 9/11.
All right.
The feet of the towers staggered, reaching upward in praise of creation, then crumbled, exposing those closest to God, forcing the plunge through eternity and back to ground zero, with heaven's basement of sacred remains, while twisted steel spewed filaments of smoke, entwined with souls and flesh and hearts in charred lockets. Nature, forever changing the horizon, played its unchained melody while the world watched in horror, listening. End quote. Thank you.
Very well written.
Thank you.
I enjoy your work.
I love your work, too, and what you read and the submissions that come through. And I think it's a great, great, you know, system that you have, even though you eat pumpkin pie and talk at the same time.
Well, you know, I do the best I can, and
yeah, you got to let that one pass. I know. I dealt with microphones. I guess you have those covers over the mics to.
I do. Mike has an unprotected microphone.
Yeah, yeah. I
oh
tend
my
to,
God, Mike.
Yeah, I live dangerously. You know, actually,
yeah, don't,
I got to
don't use anybody else.
No, I bring my own.
There you go.
Now, Lorraine, I actually have to tell you, with the pumpkin pie thing, this was a special occasion because one of my New Year's resolutions is to get incredibly and insanely upset anytime someone says the word pumpkin to me in 2016. So this was one of the last times. I just decided, why not take a quirky New Year's resolution? Someone says the word pumpkin, I'm going to get really angry and probably throw a fit.
I'd love to see you throw a fit. I mean, I'm just getting on the videos now with the station, so I see you three guys in action. But I never saw you throw a fit.
That's we're gonna get some good video.
We should have been doing video earlier.
Oh my God! Did I miss something good?
We were just having a little political debate before going down to the studio.
Oh yeah, little is a very nice word. Yes.
Understated. Yeah.
Yeah, understated.
Yeah, I know that. We're dealing with Trump here, so, you know.
Trust me.
Please.
We're dealing with that
I
everywhere.
I have a poem later on that one called My Hair Despair, but that's on Donald Trump.
I don't have any more hair.
Awesome.
It's great to talk to you, and I wish you all the best, and have a great night if I don't talk to you again.
We missed you last week, and thank you for calling our show this week.
I missed you, too. And take care. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
You know, I feel depressed. I don't have hair, especially like Donald Trump. But I
right.
tell you,
hair today, gone tomorrow.
If I had it, it'd be huge. You know, it'd be huge hair. I can't even do his voice.
The sad thing is, I did a kind of a comb over today because my hair's getting longer on the sides, and I looked. Like I could be Donald Trump. I'm like,
I would
I
love
I might
to
shave
see
my head
you.
Again. No.
I would love to see you do a Donald Trump impersonation at some
no.
point.
No, no,
no,
no.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I had the big swoop going on, and my daughter, she's like, no.
Well, at least you tried.
I'm gonna try and make it through a year without getting a haircut because I cut my hair. I shaved my head on April 1st, the beginning of Poetry Month last year.
That's right.
This year.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make it through to April 1st again this year.
Okay.
So I was listening to this. I was listening to this podcast the other day, and I think it was something like a TED Talk podcast. It was a pretty popular one.
Right.
And they were talking about this guy who in 1971 was in San Francisco and saw two oil tankers collide in the bay and the damage. And right then he decided he didn't want to use any more petroleum-powered transportation, so he started walking everywhere. And then a few months later, he was getting yelled at. It was causing all these problems. And so he eventually thought, you know, I'm spending most of my time arguing with people and explaining why I'm walking. I think I'm just going to try not to talk for a day. And somehow that turned into 18 years. Now, I could go on about my own thoughts about this. However, I feel like if people can do eccentric stuff like that, or not have their hair cut free, you know, that kind of thing, I can get upset when someone says the word pumpkin. And it's actually just as arbitrary as not talking for 18 years, except it doesn't masquerade as being spiritual.
And yes, he's going to get upset about a word that he's only used tonight, and we've not said at all.
No, and I'm totally fine. Like, I actually don't have a problem with the word pumpkin. I'm just trying to find a word that will come up so I can be like, did someone just say that word to me? Yeah, and then I can go off.
September's really going to hurt you.
I know. I'm planning on it. It's going to be so
painful. Pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh, yeah.
From here until the end of the year.
Pumpkin spice everything. What are you talking about?
That's true.
Walk in. What is it?
All right.
You're living a lie. Okay.
No, that's Jimmy Buffett concert.
I did drive by Jimmy Buffett concerts and yell at the people outside.
That's hilarious. We do have another caller lined up. Please welcome from Connecticut. She is Barbara.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Yeah, I don't know what happened last week. I spent the time with my daughters, I guess. I just was like getting over Thanksgiving and...
Well, you know what they say. Everybody needs a little time away, I heard her say, from each other.
No, I didn't even realize it was your third anniversary show. And thank you, Michael, for reading my poem. I think I wrote it on the chat, but thank you. You read it really beautifully.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment, Barbara. It was a good piece.
You're welcome. And, and the video with it, did you happen to catch the video with it? I think I tagged you on it.
I think so,
The video is so spectacular to see those birds.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, I've written, like, I can't believe how many poems I've written since I was with you.
That's what happens.
I'm deciding which one to read because I think I'll read the last one I wrote, which is the saddest, sorry. Then I'll move into the less sad, and then maybe for the other one, I'll try another. Anyway, a friend of mine lost his father 2 days ago.
Ooh.
And he was 79, and it was kind of sudden, but not so sudden. You know, he was deteriorating anyway. But... there was like an obituary page and where you could sign in the guest book, and you know, being a poet, you can't just sign, you have to leave something, especially when they offer, they say to you, you can leave personal poems, you know. So
yeah,
I thought about leaving this poem that I'd already written for somebody who lost his father, and then I thought, well, that's very lazy and lame, so I won't do that. So I decided to actually write a poem for this guy, and here goes. It's called On Losing a Father. The loss is immense, as if a rock had smashed your world in an instant, and you feel it deep within, like a rip in your heart. His presence was always there for you, no matter what, and you leaned on his strength when you lost some of your own, thinking he would be there always. Now you cry into the darkness and despair is your companion, but he is there with you and holding you up through the days to come as you absorb the pain. Memories of him will drift through your mind at odd times and warm your soul as you remember the good and the not so good times, always with love and with the sheen of cherished moments, and he will live in your heart forever.
Very well done.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you.
I hope they read that.
When you have your own sadness, it's easy to write about someone else's, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I've lost my father, my mother, my husband. I'm a motherless child.
No, it's your turn to be a mother to all these younger poets coming up through the ranks, actually.
True.
It's not finding the old normal, it's defining the new normal.
That's true. And, you know, it's like I am now part of all these. And a friend of mine, I have another poem that I'm going to read later. A friend of mine founded this page called Something About Peace. Poets writing poems for peace.
Okay, yeah, I think is it a Facebook group?
Yeah,
I think you or Pearl, someone else added me to that too.
Yeah, Pearl kind of acrylic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. Pearl is like, if you want anything organized, you don't even have to ask her. But if things seem like they need organizing, there's Pearl.
Yes. She should call the show and share something.
She's just that way. She's that kind of person. And so she's decided that we should all write poems for peace. And, you know, I don't know if you read the one I wrote. I wrote one about, forgiving my cousin for laughing while they cut my hair, you know.
I don't think I caught I've ingested a bunch of poetry in the last 2 weeks, so if I caught it, it's either not ringing a bell with me, or I'm in sensory overload at this point and I just need to write for a while.
Yeah, it's for my cousin, basically. That's what it is. It's for my cousin called that. But anyway, it wasn't a biggie. I just, like, threw it on the page. Okay, I'm going to get off and let another person get on, and see you guys later. And
all right.
The show is great.
We'll talk to you real soon, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
You
great
later.
Job.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. So having Barbara say that they invite people to share their personal poetry on this memorial page, I had this analogy. It's like walking into a room with a junkie and setting down a needle, a spoon, a lighter, and a small packet and going, you do what you want with this. Totally. I mean, inviting a poet to share poetry.
That is true, yeah. Inviting almost, a poet, yeah.
Yeah, it's nearly as addictive, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right.
He was the person in yearbook signing day that we always dreaded.
I was that guy.
You signed my yearbook. Oh, God.
You know, a friend of mine, I got to tell you, this is a real story. It's very, very short, but I was talking to a friend of mine I knew in high school, and she's telling me, she goes, you know, I never forgot what you wrote in my yearbook. And I went, I don't even remember what I wrote in your yearbook.
Yeah.
So she goes and she grabs it. She still has it. She brings it out and she shows it to me. And I wrote, I had to be kidding, because this is just so obnoxious. Keep this yearbook, because years from now, when I have a lot of money and you're living in a cardboard box, you might be able to sell this to get yourself a house.
Wow.
No. I read that and was just horrified that I had written it. And of course, it had to be a joke, because I have never once ever had thoughts, hopefully, that obnoxious in reality. Because
I'm
playing that character, you know, when it. But I couldn't believe it. It was there in my handwriting. I thought, I'm going to go back in time and slap myself. What is that? I couldn't believe it.
Well, see, I had, when I cleaned out my parents' house, I found my old annual from junior high. Now, mind you, I moved to Colorado at the end of junior high.
Yeah.
So, and it's quite a long time ago. So I'm like thumbing through it, and I get to the back where everybody signs, and here's this long thing. Oh, I can't remember, or I will never forget what you did at the party. We will be friends forever.
Yeah.
And then squiggle, squiggle, squiggle. And I'm like, first off, what the hell did I do at the party? Second off, who the hell was it that signed it like that? Because we're still not friends.
It's so funny. You go back and, I mean, when you leave high school, you know, everybody thinks you're going to be friends for, you know, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's the most serious thing, and you guys are going to conquer the world. And then you leave, and a few years later, You talk to these friends. It was all supposed to be awesome. You go, what are you doing now? Working.
I'm at Burger King.
And then suddenly you go, oh, all you guys suck too.
We all suck.
It is a constant battle to not suck from here on out.
Exactly.
And most people just give up.
But we do have someone on the line that does not suck. In fact, she's a great poet from British Columbia. Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Really enjoying the show tonight. It's been wonderful.
I'm telling you, these guys are a dream to work with.
Very entertaining. And also, it's been a really nice spiritual theme in the poetry.
It really has been. That's right, yeah.
I have a spiritual one, too. This is a very short piece, just about embracing change. I called it Immeasurable Majesty. Sometimes change comes quietly. A guest I didn't know was near. His kindness, gracious renewal, I am loved in by this creation. I can't help but welcome all that he brings. End poem.
Love it.
That was really nice, yeah.
So it's just a little thought I had when I was living in this beautiful Victorian house with Hollywood producer people, and I wanted it to go on forever and ever. Then the landlords came through and were selling the house, and I thought, okay, just go with it, be open. And then my landlord actually gave me her apartment downtown, and I met a whole lot of really amazing people who ended up becoming family to me. So
nice.
Change can be good.
Change is good. So if I were to send you a link for a poetry show, do you ever travel to California?
It's on my list. I have a whole lot of friends there. That's where my Hollywood producer friends went. So I really want to go to California. It's on my list.
Okay. There's a radio show you need to get booked on out there. I'm going to send you a link probably this week sometime.
Thank you so much.
And they specialize on, and it'd have to be on a Sunday because that's when their show is. They have poets in the studio that come in and read.
I would love to do that. It's not that far for me.
No.
I mean, I'm an optimist, so I believe it's not that far, but I'm on the West Coast.
And once they get the Hyperloop up and going, it'll be no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to go in before that happens. I think Mr. Elon Musk opened his mouth before he should have, but I hope he does it.
But thank you for the link, because I really want to go visit those friends.
Awesome. I will get that to you this week, Cynthia. I hope you call back during the return engagement.
I'm planning to, so talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. So, wow.
So, I noticed that there is just a very peaceful flow, and I think that was something really quickly that, you know, there's some, we even said this in the opening thing on the page, but there's just so much dark stuff out there. I love that we're kind of, even though we know that's there, we're focusing on what makes us people.
Yeah.
You know,
you had a quote before the show that was amazing.
It's a great quote.
Go ahead,
man.
Go ahead and share.
I don't even remember what
I wrote it
guys.
Down.
I don't,
hold
yeah,
on.
I honestly don't.
Pardon me while I whip this out.
Yes.
I wrote it down because I'm
the only time you've ever asked permission.
Oh, wow. We quit after dark real quick. So this is his quote. The best thing that art can do is remind us of our highest aspirations. And I'm like, holy cow. With all that's gone on in the last few weeks, with all the somberness that we've had, what a way to redirect the conversation from newsworthy items to what we should be concentrating on, which is creation.
Yes. Yeah.
I appreciate the compliments, but I just,
really good.
I think, you know, the media knows how to trigger our fear response, which gets us to pay attention. And coincidentally, everybody wants our attention. And so it's fear wherever you go, you know?
Yeah, I see this cartoon every once in a while on Facebook come through my newsfeed. It's hilarious. This newscaster's like, what are we going to do to lessen the grip of terrorism on our society? And the guy's like, click.
Yeah.
Shutting off the television.
Well, I remember there was a news site at one point. I think it was called the National News or something like that. And you'd go there and all they were articles to get you to click on it so they could sell ad space. But it was things like Texas cancels Halloween for fear of terrorism or for fear of Ebola.
What?
It made it sound absolutely real. And you're like, this is completely fake. I mean, but But there, these things come up, and a lot of times there is no artistic or no journalistic integrity. That's just, let's get people to click. That's all we care about, you know?
No journalistic integrity. I'm not going to throw any.
There's a lot of that out there on every end.
Everybody's underneath that bus. We'll just call that one.
Yeah, and that's true. That's the truth.
All right. So someone that has quite a lot of poetic integrity, please welcome calling from Florida. And it's the first time that she's not in a segment all to herself. She is KK98.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are
you? Good. I'm doing good. Just a little sick, but yeah.
Well, hopefully you've got good poetry for us.
Yes, I do. I went to the back a few months ago, but then there's like a few of my friends who've been feeling alone, so I just felt like I was sure. There's a girl who's all alone. She tries so hard to make it through, but there are strong aches in her bones. She lays in her bed, but she is running down her face. Poor little girl has thoughts running in her head. She wonders if she will ever be loved, but to her she feels like it's impossible. She says she's been fighting, but it's hard. She gives all she can to others, but they still push her away. She wonders why she's such a bother. As she lies here hoping to die, her eyes start to open. She is not giving up, but she's going to fly. And yeah.
As always, grand work there.
Thank you.
And you're going to be calling back for the return engagement?
I'm thinking about it.
Well, find another piece. Call back and share during the return engagement. I think you'll find it fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That was KK98 on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Now, I know KK98 is a screen name.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel slightly like we're stepping into a Star Trek episode, like we're talking about an android or a droid or something.
Well, she is a poetic machine.
All right, see? There you go.
There you go.
Good tie-in.
I know, right?
All right.
So,
Would you like to read one, or do you want me to do a submission?
Can we do both?
What?
I know, that's just crazy talk.
Okay, Michael, you read first.
Actually, Michael, you read first, because I got to see if this thing is rebooted a third time.
Yeah, I was just pulling it up here, actually. Okay, so we have one. Well, actually, we have multiple, so we'll probably do one next segment as well. This one is from Pamela Gold. And this one is called Catatonia, a Horrific Poem. Ugh. Catatonia. Gaunt. Sunken eyes. Cheekbones protruding beneath taut skin. The man twisted around, taking note of the rising sun. Colors intertwined above, creating hints of deep red submerged by usual oranges and pinks. The lake still. Fully hushed. Water engulfing the scene. He took a knee, listening. The waking sun whispering his next move. His eyes wandered to the ground, his once clear mind now in a haze. With the trance now broken, he stepped over the body and grasped the shovel. And that's from Pamela Gold. It's called Catatonia, a Horrific Poem. And that was her first submission to our show. So welcome, Pamela. Thank you so much. And if anybody out there listening wants to submit poetry, you can do it on worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just go to the contact form and send it there.
And of course, Pamela actually contacted me. She's like, I sent it this week. Maybe next week I'll call. Pamela, I invite you to call. We do not bite around here unless you pay extra.
We don't bite the customers.
Yes.
Well,
each, you know, other.
If they I have never bitten either one of you. I had to explain how vampires work to second graders today.
Awesome.
We did a drama thing where there was
a
girl was attacked by vampires, and then the girl telling the story, so there's people acting it out. She goes, and then she realized that the vampires only wanted her blood, so she didn't care. So they took her blood and she walked away.
That's awesome.
That's not how it works.
First off, you kind of need your blood.
Yeah.
Well,
you need your blood.
Unless it's in a jar. Maybe it was in a jar. Didn't you ever think of that?
Well, that's not quite how they played it. But oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. No,
maybe she just kept books at a blood bank. You never know.
It's true.
All right. So
vampire bankers.
All right. I'm going to read one also. I loaded this up before I knew the spiritual nature of the show was going the direction it is. This is entitled Overdue Gratitude. What is behind my manic grin, the happiness I have within, I thank God for all that I am not. Lord, I thank you for all I've got. What keeps me going day to day, though each trial that comes my way, though the adversary doth plot, Lord, I thank you for all I've got. Energy once again found anew, all the glory I give to you, with each lesson I've been taught, Lord, I thank you for all I've got. Merciful Father, who is fair, and my soul daily you repair, helping me out when I cannot, Lord, I thank you for all I've got. I try to show my gratitude and rearrange my attitude. My pleasure is not sold or bought, Lord, I thank you for all I've got. When life's travails wear my soul down, and this poet is feeling down, you lift me up when I'm distraught. Lord, I thank you for all I've got. For every chance you've given me, your true forgiveness sets me free. And within each day's beginning thought, Lord, I thank you for all I've got. And that is a curioso.
Sorry.
I'm not in the penalty box. I didn't.
No, no, you were good. I put my finger on the wrong button.
It's all a plot.
It is. Is it working, Michael? Is it working yet?
You know the best quote I ever heard from a friend of mine whose father was a colonel in the Air Force or something like that? He goes, I've worked in the military my entire adult life, and I don't believe that there is any group of people competent enough to carry on a conspiracy on the level that you think they are. To hear that from a colonel is hilarious.
That is
point. You know
hilarious.
What? My dad probably would agree with
I'm
that.
I'm sure. A career military man, right?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, 20 years. And he's just like, nah.
You're
so
giving them too much credit. Yeah.
I've even heard a retired guy from the CIA say the same thing in an interview. He's like, they're not capable of that.
Well, I like the TV shows that depict that they are.
So you watch a lot of Jesse Ventura?
No, I'm not those.
Love Jesse Ventura's interviews. He's great when he talks about, someone's talking about waterboarding and some TV talk show host who has no experience except being a broadcaster.
Yep.
I think waterboarding's a good idea. And Jesse Ventura goes, I've been waterboarded on several occasions.
You know what you're talking about.
Or someone talks about, he's like, I've been involved in several false flag operations. He's like done all this crazy stuff. No one can say. What are you going to say to that guy?
Yeah.
He's been a governor, a Navy SEAL, a professional. I mean, what are you going to say?
That guy has lived a hell of a life, too.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he has.
All right. So,
okay.
If you want to add a notch to your belt in living your life, you're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
We promise it'll be an experience.
And not a false flag operation.
Why would we tell them if it was? 720-240-9766.
Five unique callers. Yeah. CDM McCall. I wonder what that song's a euphemism for. I can't believe that he's actually really just dancing with himself and that happy to be doing so.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm just saying, if I'm dancing myself, I'm kind of depressed. My wife's not with me.
Well, have you ever seen... That's just because, you know... You're you. But, I mean, you want to tell me that you can't just picture, you know, Justin Timberlake standing there in a house by himself and just being like, and just going Hugh Grant from Love Actually on him? Just
no, I think Jessica Biel's with him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to be able to dance the same way when there's someone watching.
That's
now,
true.
Personally, I do dance like there's no one watching, and unfortunately, it does result in a lot of, citations for public nudity.
All right. So we do need to bring up that
I want to address
Michael
something.
Amadeus was cited for public nudity, and that's why his album was not out by the time that our anniversary rolled around.
Now, you know what's funny is that this was a huge deal, and then I came in and I was so happy to actually be among people and talking and on the air. I even forgot to mention what was going on. And I didn't realize until I laid in bed that night. I thought, I didn't even bring it up.
Well, no. And I tried to feed it to you, and the opening was completely missed.
Yeah, it was. I do remember you trying to.
Okay. So, guys, next time, knowing that I'm genuinely trying to do it, just club me over the head, assuming that I'm sometimes clueless about things like this, which
I'm. Got
it.
Oh, we will be the heartless old hunters, and you will be the baby seal from now on.
Oh. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Club you over the head.
It's a little dark metaphor, but okay, we can go with that. So, at any rate, what I should have said last week was so I was not here the week before last.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's only the second time it's happened in 4 years that I've been sick and couldn't make it. And what had happened was after the show previously that I'd been on. I went home, and I was getting sick during the show, actually, the one before last, and lost my voice, which is terrible 2 weeks before you're putting out an album, because that's when vocals are all getting figured out and finished.
And retakes. And,
right.
Yeah.
And then as a result, because I have all this internal organ stuff from when I had chemotherapy as a kid, and so because of the cold, it triggered into suddenly this other condition where I couldn't walk. So I'm walking around on a cane. I have no voice. Walking around on a cane. I can't sit up in the chair in the studio to finish the work. I literally couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And so I had to sit there and to recover. And I finally got back and I thought, maybe I have a day to finish this. And there was just no way. So what I decided to do was say, you know what? I want to deliver things on time. I don't want to be that guy who just cancels it and whatever. The issue came in that there was no way I was going to get it done to something that I felt comfortable giving you and at the people who would be listening to it. So I just decided I'm going to swallow my pride, which was actually really hard to do, and I'm going to take some more time and make it right. And then at the right time, I'll release it to everybody, just like I said, for free.
Well, plus you'll be releasing a more complete finished
prop by far.
We have noticed a pattern. When we're at KZKO and you're working on your album, you got sick. And it was right around November.
So from here on out.
Hold on. Oh, and then we were working on the Poe album.
Yep.
And you're busting your nut to do that and got sick right around November.
Yep.
And this year, you did no more projects for you. Once August 30th rolls around, you are done. We're going to get through Posick Fest and you're going to rest until the end of the year.
I think I'll just maintain and then just, you know, because one of the big things is just really staying healthy, being at the gym as much as I can, but in a healthy way, eating well. And then right around that time of year, I'm just going to make a point of maintaining and just resting more to just kind of try to keep myself from hitting.
Exactly. You are a thoroughbred. No longer are we going to ride you hard and put you away wet, which I guess has happened to you on a time or two.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, hey.
Well, I hope my mom's listening.
Dark for that. Anyway, we do have a new caller. I hope we haven't scared her away. Please welcome, calling from California. She is Chantel.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we have a question that we ask.
I'm so glad you guys.
Uh-huh. Oh, I said we have a question we ask all of our new callers. How did you hear about our show?
On Facebook.
Oh, nice. Very cool. And so you're located in California. You're going to share a poem with us?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful. What you got?
Okay, it's called The Cutter. She cries at night when no one can hear. Even though she is sad, she disguises her sorrows so her family won't fear. A troubled soul battling a silent war. She has been beaten down and broken, shattered to the core. In her desperation, she yearns for that sensation, the warmth of her blood dripping from her skin. The cutter, she hides it well, wearing long-sleeved shirts so nobody can tell. You can only wonder how long she has suffered and if she'll ever have the courage to fight it, this depression to release the tension, or will she continue every night to cry out her pretty little innocent eyes with the cuts getting deeper as she'll succumb to what is defeating her. Death, a slow demise.
Wow, indeed. Strong poem.
Thank you.
Hopefully not autobiographical, but it's a great poem.
Thank you.
And just so you know, we keep it original callers until we run out of new callers, which we've done already tonight. So the next segment will be the return engagement. You are welcome to call back with the second poem during that return engagement.
Okay, I can do that. I'll do that.
Excellent. And you're up in Sonora. That's near Twain Heart, right?
Correct, yes.
I have been to Sonora, I've been to Twain Heart, and there's a little town there that we used to go camp at when I was a kid called Long Barn.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, great place. You live in paradise. I just want you to know that.
I just was wondering how far I was going to take this. So you live in that... I was waiting for him to be like, you live in the house
on...
Oh, yeah, I love what you did with the place for the new holiday decorations. I thought that was great. Hey, thank you very much for calling in. It was wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having this program. It's awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Tell your friends about us.
Okay.
That was Chantel.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Have a great one.
Talk to you soon. That was Chantel on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. I wasn't going to get that specific.
You know, my father owns a carpet cleaning company, and he's going through doing his holiday cards and everything and getting rid of some of it. He shows one to me, and it's just a standard holiday greeting card. And my mother goes, he was worried it sounded like it was a little stalkerish. And it was just something like, you know, happy holidays from my family to yours or whatever. And I go, no, a stalkerish holiday card would be happy holidays. You know, and then
closet.
And say, yeah, and say something like, saying something like, I really think the placement of the Christmas lights in your bedroom is really off. And you know, saying, but that kind of gave me the idea. I would love to create a line of cards that just have just little things in them that just are really unsettling, but look totally innocent otherwise.
Well done. Now that you've put it out in the world, you've got to have to do this.
There's a lot of poets here. I figure, you know,
yeah.
They could contribute.
They
I
could
guess.
Contribute to creepy Christmas cards.
I know. I at one point in time when I was in a dark place, was writing a lot of poetry, and I'm like, you know, I might have to start the Hallmark hate line and just come up with hate cards for people.
And I have this Christmas card idea I've wanted to do for years, and I keep putting it off to my own detriment. But what I really want to do is I want to have two women, you know, in you know, just like a very elegant, you know, dress, right?
Okay.
Putting an ornament on a tree, and then myself sitting in a high back chair wearing a smoking jacket with a pipe in my mouth and an eyebrow raised, and it just says, for no reason, happy holidays from the thunder down under. And I just don't explain it. And that's my Christmas card for the year. And I just have never done it.
Soon.
But I really would happen. Like to, I think I should see JT. See that? JT thinks it's funny. And because of the reason people laugh, the thing they think the joke is actually tells you a lot about them.
Yes. So, we're going to take it from the Thunder Down Under to the Beast Out East. Please welcome, calling in, he is Philip from Kentucky.
Howdy, fellers.
How you doing, brother?
I am doing exceptionally well, and I do not intend this to be an advertisement, so just, you know, spank me later if I'm out of line here. A lady by the name of Susan Joyner Stumpf has... so kindly agreed to publish 100 of my poems and from her own press. It's called Wildfire Publications, and I don't normally like to count my eggs prematurely, but I think these were actually going to hatch, so we're going to see how this works out. And
awesome.
I hope that was okay to say. I'm not trying to
I want people to promote their work. As soon as the book comes out, we'd like to have a copy.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you, sir. I'll have to buy you a copy and mail it to you just to save you a few dollars, you know?
That'd be all right.
and I will try to get to it, and I promise I'm not trying to sneak in two poems. This poem is actually intended to be, I think, now, you correct me if I'm wrong, it's diptych. I don't know if that's how people pronounce it, diptych, triptych, et cetera, but
yes.
I'm pronouncing it. Yeah, all right, good, thank you. Diptych, teleological ideations, blue version, and then the second part of it will be the red version. So, diptych, teleological ideations, blue version. Confessions begin unrehearsed, partially coherent phrases mumbled and moonlit spaces, rooms for a mood sequestered, echoed by a voice estranged from the man dreaming in exile. His last days spent along the fogged noir borders between memories and phantasmagoria, taking up the last residence in a skull crowded with misinterpreted fiction, amalgamated personas who wander from pages of horror-y abstraction into eye orbs of expansive doubt. My reliable stubbornness smolders long after sunset through bewitched existential hours, compiling lists of resolute options from grotesque to sedate. I hear the landlord's soft footsteps approach, a gentle elder hand at my weary shoulders, accompanied by a shush that quells my assiduous pen. And here's the red version. Back when I was suicidal, crazed, and mistakenly brave among insincere acquaintances, I'd saunter off aimless with a choice tucked coldly inside my tattered coat pocket, running away from convention, the steeple-sharp Sundays and sterile morality, bad parodies of 50-style sitcoms, winter and bronzed lamp-lit boulevards, affluent districts where anonymous life goes on untouched, unaffected by questions of survival, at ease with the homeless, shadows of my future self, midnight harbingers whose rot-gut phrases resound littered alleys with truths of durable crudity, banished memories that show up unannounced at the ramshackle stoop of a darkened mind, unwanted guest, but family nonetheless, effigies of my former selves that wander and burn, a broken-back Sisyphus who cannot return. And there it is, fellers.
Very well done.
I appreciate it, Sir J. Todd Underhill, and thank you guys for everything you do, and it's an honor to be among so many gifted writers and true friends. So, and it's almost on a year now, by the way. January, I think, will be officially a year that I've been with you fellows.
Yeah, so, it will. Yeah, that's right.
So I am honored, touched, and et cetera, and cheers. I look forward to the return engagement.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it, too. Before you go, I just want to let you know two things. First off, I'm very proud that you're getting published. Second off, wait till you hear the rebroadcast. Your intro was epic.
Oh,
It really was. I think we might want to start making this a thing, because that was an awesome awesome intro.
You guys are making me blush. I'm going to fall over myself.
Hey, thanks a lot, Philip.
Cheers.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon, Philip. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Yeah, because the return engagement is coming on strong. We got one more poet before we start that.
That's right. Sucker-free return engagement. I don't even know why I say that. It just rolls off.
Sucker free.
Yeah.
We need to make sucker free a complete word itself. We need to give it a definition.
It's got a definition. It's been used a lot. I didn't come up with it. Trust me.
Okay.
It's not like bam. Which I still really want to continue to make a thing.
All right.
Ta-ya!
Kind of like that is a thing.
Well, you know, it is, but the word bam could mean so much, but it just communicates what it is. And also foxes say it.
Yeah. What does a fox say? Anyway.
Wow.
So, please welcome our last poet for this unique caller engagement. Please welcome Mariah.
Hey.
Hey, are you as confused as I am? Because that whole last segment just kind of threw me for a loop.
I am very confused because I haven't been listening.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I'm glad that we're here to perform for you, Mariah.
Yes, you're listening to the one radio show where the callers don't even listen. Yes, it's World Poetry Open
Mic.
The best
part. We'll just start the show, sit back and drink some coffee, and let you guys just hash out in the chat room until it's time to call.
I've been trying to write. You know me. You know this.
You've had 2 weeks, because you weren't here last week. You've had 2 weeks to write, and you're doing it right now before you get on the show?
There's other things to do.
baby.
Okay. So, is it finished? Are you ready to share your not-so-dry poem with us?
No, that'll be for next segment, because I don't actually have it written yet. I'm doing a cover of one that I was going to do 3 weeks ago, but I ended up getting it written.
I see how this works.
Smoke and mirrors.
Mirrors don't smoke.
I would have one done, but I did a poem at a talent show at my church, and that went past 9 o'clock.
Really?
I don't have one written by now.
That's all right.
I was giving a live performance in front of people.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome.
That's really good.
Through a phone.
And how was the reception?
People thought it was awesome.
Of course.
I did my, to anyone who doesn't think you're beautiful.
That's an amazing piece. I'm glad you did that one.
Yeah. And it was super last minute. I wasn't signed up for the talent show at all. I just gave them a note. It's like, can I read?
Awesome.
Yes. So, I'm going to do a cover for this segment. A good friend of mine, kind of my poetry mentor from down in Texas, One Deep.
All right.
So, I haven't read this in like 3 weeks. So, this is Leave the Final Verse to Me. I go searching for a song of a yellow sun, where the softness of laughter chases late afternoon blossoms from savage gardens. A song of my youth, where even the stones remember how I danced in the delirium of morning rain falling like metal teardrops. I go searching for a song that recalls that part of you I pressed like a rose between the pages of my eyelids. A song that holds us in the beat and rhythm of golden thorns rising from south side rainbows. A song of yellow sun rising over soft cotton fields, and when the morning comes, baby, leave the final verse to me. I go searching for the dust of days gone by, now gathering clockwise ghosts of days when the cool white of a screaming moon still shined on the barrio. Days when my dreams turned to night-sick bruises that kept coming back blue and black like cities with no soul. Days when I planted myself in the biography of flamenco sketches. I go searching for the dust of days where the jagged light of street lamps struggles to remember the secrets of downtown avenues and broken windows. Windows open to let you in into my dreams and cities, into my days and nights. The dust settles, baby. Leave the final verse to me. I go searching for the heart of a rebellion, for the red bone pulse of a bloody flag atop a mountain, for the machete in peasant hands, for a fixed blade clenched between the teeth of hunger. I go searching for the rebellion behind gray walls and projects burning down Wall Street and Rodeo Drive. I go searching for the heart of a rebellion that says no more to dispossessed children, no more to huddled masses yearning to breathe free, no more to racism and homelessness, no more to religious persecution and poverty, no more to cop killers and killer cops. I go searching for roads from my youth, roads that lead to ancient temples where the unrelenting throne is the heart of its people, roads that follow the migration of civilizations long since forgotten, roads that cross rivers and borders. I go searching for roads by manual labor with sticks and stones, spit and sweat, shovel and calloused hands, built my men, women, and children of all races in search of hope and new beginnings. I go searching for dusty roads that lead to songs of a yellow sun, a sun that rebels against the hot asphalt heart of the earth. I go searching for roads paved with poems, poems of forgiveness and love, poems of diversity and tolerance, poems of you and me. And when the sun sets, the dust settles, and the war ends, leave the final verse to me, baby, and I will tell the world of how much I loved you. End poem.
One Deep would be proud of you. That was very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well delivered. I hope he's listening.
Probably not, but I'll send him a link to the archive.
Send him a link to our archive. And he needs to call the show again since he's listening.
Yeah, he does. He hasn't called him in a long time.
Right. All right. So, for him, the number is 720-240-9766. I've traveled into the future. I can tell you that when he listens, that will be the phone number.
Pretty freaking amazing, isn't
I think
Michael?
I just short-circuited Michael's
my
phone
mind,
number.
My mind is blown in the worst way possible.
Who knew he had so much wisdom?
I know.
Who knew? Who knows? He knows.
The shadow knows.
Yeah, I always love that. Who knows? The shadow knows. I'm like, what about the shadow knows? Is it? Oh, not K-N-O-W-S. Yeah. Okay. The right. Shadow knows. It's like a shadow government, only it's a nose.
Mariah, thank you for calling our show.
Of course.
And hopefully, we're doing a return engagement here in a couple moments. Hopefully, you can get that on one written.
Yeah.
All right. That was Mariah and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh, wait, it's not after dark yet.
Yeah, it's not time yet.
All right, let's just do that again. Ready? There we go.
You guys are scaring me.
Well, we're trying to come with some trademarks. All right. You know?
Okay, so J. Todd needs to read.
Yeah, you
I
read
thought we're
now.
Let's oh. do. We had we were short callers. Let's do one and one again.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you go first this time.
Go first, and then he'll go.
Yeah, we're gonna mix it up.
You know, I kind of loaded this up last week because it's kind of a tradition that I do one of this guy's poems.
Yes.
Right around the anniversary of our show, as fate would have it, I asked my father when I found out we were going to start the show. I'm like, would you call in and share a piece? And he's like, if I'm able to. I think he knew something was up because he made it to 1 week before a show and then passed on. So, anybody that knows me knows I've been chasing his poetry since I was about 17. And I'm going to read you one of his. This is entitled The Last Chorus. The old-fashioned clock, tick-tock, tick-tock, sits on the mantel. Tick-tock, tick-tock, counting off meaningless units of non-substantial movement through space. Bong. The leaking faucet, poink, poink, ponk, can symbolize the passage of time, ponk, poink, poink. But to what end? And for what purpose? For what useful purpose? Ploink. What is time? Is it the interval between beginning and end? But what is the beginning and what is the end? Do beginning and end exist aside from human beings' limits to comprehension? What was before the beginning and what will be after the end? Perhaps just a memory, but who will remember? That is my song, ephemeral but without end. What, why, where, when, how, and to quote the fable Old Owl, who. And that was written in 1961 by Mr. Larry Smith.
Nice. I really like that one, man.
Yeah. Sure.
That was cool. By the way, before I read the next submission, I wanted to tell you I found a dictionary entry under Suck a Free.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Urban Dictionary, so of course people can add their own.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. But maybe one day I'll tell our Bound story.
Our Bound story. Okay. Maybe.
How it went from my brother and I coming up with it to Ricky Martin doing it on national TV.
But that's awesome.
Suck a Free. I love the first part of this. Synonymous with San Francisco, because San Francisco is free from all you suckas. First popularized by Rappin' Forte in the 1994 song Players Club.
Okay.
Wow. There you go. That's where it comes from.
Sucka Free. Wow.
Sucka Free. And San Francisco, because it's apparently free from all you suckas.
Well, yeah. I'm not there.
I'm not there either.
Yeah. I had people, kids, today, no kidding. Actually, this is true. I used to have a thing of suckers I would give kids who were, you know, would help me. And I ran out. So these kids asked me today, and I'm like, guys, this is a sucker-free class. And I went,
yes, it
well
is.
Done,
yes, it is. All right. You got a submission?
I do.
He's
always
going from this, he's going from the dictionary definition of sucker-free to his submission.
We like to keep it real around here.
He's in transit.
Always. This one is from a great friend of the show, submits a lot of work. This is Steve Junka.
Nice.
And this one is another one. It looks like another military theme one called M60 Machine Gun. An M60 machine gun is a wonderful thing, unless you're the one that's feeling its sting. On May 23rd, 1971, it happened to us, and it wasn't any fun. Me and two friends walked into an ambush that night. It was the very first time we'd had to fight. Eyeball to eyeball, there was nowhere to run. I was actually looking down the barrel of his gun. As the night wore on, I found myself between the enemy and our line of defense. Everyone was shooting at me. It did not make sense. The M60 was digging up dust around me. Its red tracers going by my head is exactly what I did not want to see. To be alive, I am grateful. God help all of us who came home to be grateful and not hateful. Praying for peace during this Christmas season. Prayers and thoughts to all of those affected by the terror attack in California. War is hell. We're at war. That's from Steve Junka. M60 Machine Gun is the name of the work.
Thank you, Steve, for your service to our country, and powerful peace, my friend. All right. That being said, it's now time for the return engagement.
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 All right. So don't even think about our fanfare.
Don't even think about drawing to Skype.
All right. So, if you've called the show before, or if you haven't and you want to share a poem, now is the time. We're doing a free-for-all, 720-240-9766.
Now it's a free-for-all, 720-240-9766.
Call us. You're listening to Back in the Day Cafe on WPOM 1093 FM. I'm Jay Wait. Hold on.
Coming back from a terrible alternate reality, it's World Poetry Open Mic.
Coming back from an LSD flashback. Holy cow, dude. Where'd you get that music tonight?
I own it. Yeah. I own it.
I gotta be honest, man. That music, why would you choose that if you were going to be on?
Yeah.
That just shows terrible taste.
Yeah.
I wonder what I mean, not like I don't, and I you know, but...
No, that Rock Me Amadeus is your favorite song. In fact, you had it on endless loop.
It's not my favorite song.
While you were on
song.
Your honeymoon in your honeymoon suite.
It's not my favorite song. It's just a power anthem.
It's your power anthem. He pays someone to walk around with a boombox over their head, jogging behind him with it.
You know how hard it is to find a really good and affordable lute player to follow you around and be a minstrel? It's much easier to have him carry you a boombox now.
You know... They have, like, portable Bluetooth speakers, right?
Yeah, I don't want to carry my own stereo.
Okay, you can, like, Velcro it to you as you ran.
Then, do you realize the issues with Velcroing things to my body and running in and out of places?
Wow, hold on. He played Billy Idol, he played Wang Chung, he played Rock Me Amadeus, and now he's talking about Velcroing stuff to his body. You are really stuck in the 80s, aren't you?
I was four in the 80s. Thank you very much.
The whole decade. He was 4 years old.
Someone said I never left. Yes. You know, so, hey, maybe I'm still four.
All right. Wow. How did I take this far off track? Anyway.
Because the Falco.
Yes. And
Falco has that effect. It's an aphrodisiac. That's why After Dark's coming up later.
I would have never put that together, but okay.
All right. So we do have... Looks like four callers for the return engagement. Five callers for the return engagement.
Yeah.
Please welcome first from Connecticut. She is Barbara. Oh, hold on for one moment.
Oh, wait,
Barbara.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. We got our crack team of elves working on this.
Oh, no. Hang on. There we go.
All right.
Sorry, Barbara.
Are you on the air now,
did
Barbara?
Did you lose me?
No, no.
Yep. We did.
We got sidetracked totally by being hilarious and forgot to plug
just
one thing in.
Most of it was on purpose.
Maybe I shouldn't have come on number one.
No,
I'm this all straightened
out. Hey, it's
I'm
dangerous.
Sorry, Barbara.
It's
sorry.
Dangerous up here at the top.
What I usually do is mute my computer so I don't get any feedback.
Sure. Pretty much everybody that tunes in mutes their computer after about the first 5 minutes.
Ew.
Don't. Okay, no, I have to say some people don't. They lower it, you know, so that you get some feedback, but I try to mute it all the time. So anyway,
oh, okay.
Not saying anything, I'm saying ridiculous things. I'm sorry.
I don't say ridiculous. What, Barbara, what are you talking about ridiculous things? What do you mean I say ridiculous things? I'm going to go back and listen to some of your poetry and edit them together.
And how old I was in the 80s, so, you know.
I was also 4 in the 70s. Figure that one out.
Oh, okay.
He's immortal.
Yeah. Stuck in a child's... I'm like Benjamin Button at the very end, but it never changes. It's really unfortunate.
Well, I was 4 in a decade that you never would have even seen, so...
You know, fair enough. But that's okay.
Okay. All right. So this was written after the San Bernardino shooting. And sorry to inject this, but since Mariah read that poem, it kind of made me think that I should read this one. And it's my take on this. So it's called Guns Have More Freedom Than People. Again, the why of this atrocity evaporates as the who and what are examined, and then the truth, so tired of being swept under the rug, decides to drift through. And we see, even before it is uncovered, what has happened, how another senseless shooting has erupted, and more innocent people lie there suffering and in pain. And some have had their lives ended suddenly at the wrong time, or so we think. But the sly eyes of the onlooker group who says nothing but carries a big holster, the ones who refuse to accept control even though a country is being infested by the venom sprayed into the air by the poisonous mantra of leave my guns alone. And we must continue to live in a place where guns have more freedom than people. Imagine that. Cold, hard steel barrels with the capacity to destroy as many people as bullets they can hold are the real controllers of this country. And the more we give them our freedoms, the more we will wish we had reined them in when they were just a nuisance and not what they are now, the beginning of the end, as the guns continue in raucous abandon to be free, and the unbalanced as well as the saner heads bask in the sunshine of this golden age for weapons, and people no longer are the guardians of their own destinies.
Very well written, Barbara.
Thank you. And, you know, I can keep talking, and then there's always someone who says, come on, this has happened all the time. If you take away the guns, they'll be using knives and so forth. But this is the other side of the coin, and it bothers me so, so much that nothing is being done about it. And I just feel if artists don't get together and try to do something about this in some way to show how important it is that maybe, you know, if artists could get together and use our voices, you know, it could be done. It really could. I mean, bombard people with poetry. I'm thinking I'd like to send this poem, like, to a million senators, to all the senators.
I was going to say, there's only 435 of them.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, actually, there's only 100 senators, but there's 435 representatives.
So. I would imagine there's over a million galactic senators.
So. No, it doesn't bother the House.
So
that's done for. But the senators, you know, they have the saner heads, hopefully, and they can, you know, do something.
We are talking about U.S. senators, right? You just said saner heads. Do you know our government
is... Poetry is trying to get
Okay, you know pro is for and con is against. You know why they call them Congress, right? Because they're not for progress.
And they're also really good at taking our money for nothing. Con men. Okay.
I'm trying to tread on very light ground because that was the subject of our very spirited debate before we came down to this studio. So
yeah, I literally put my hand up, Barbara, when you started talking about it between two members of the crew who shall remain nameless and just did the whole just
simmer down,
it,
boys.
Simmer down motion while you were talking.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry if I caused the problem.
No. And there
you
really
totally
was,
did,
there,
Barbara.
No, there really never was a problem. It's just JT and myself are very passionate about our points of view. And I respect him for it. I mean, he's got some great ideas. So,
and one day, Barbara, I will take over the world.
I just feel that, okay, you can take those great ideas, and that would be wonderful once you get gun control. You know, talk about the other stuff once you get gun control, because if you don't have gun control, these things are going to keep happening. And no matter what you do to try to stem violence, it's not going to work because there's no gun control and anybody can get a gun these days. Just anyone, as you can see, anyone can get a gun. So it's like, okay, you know, it's free for all with guns. And if we could only just as artists try to do something about it. I mean, no, I'm just so over this and so many people are over it and so many people, one person said to me after this poem was written, she read my poem, and she said, you know, I was going to get off Facebook and just, you know, kind of disappear from life. And she said, but your poem made me realize that, you know, I can hang in there, that there is still some good people. So that was like... I was overwhelmed by that.
You know, Barbara,
had that much power.
Just to wrap this up, one thing I want to say really quickly, because of what you're addressing and what you just said, your friend said, there is the level of fear mongering, and all of this has gotten to an unacceptable level. And I think the thing is that perpetuates arguments between people, that actually perpetuates a culture of violence. When you're talking about artists, I think one of the biggest things we can do is we can actually talk about what's good, because everybody else is pounding what's bad. We should be scared of these people. And everybody's, it's all about keep divide and conquer at its finest, right? That's what's going on. I think the thing that we need to do is remember humanity, remember decency, remember love, and remind each other that that's possible. And I think everything else starts to work itself out the moment that we realize fear is the enemy and it leads to all the other crap.
Yes. I agree.
I'm sorry. I'm so sick of the negativity and the scared. Getting to the place where they feel like they need to give up. They're just being pounded. It's ridiculous. Yeah, knock those people. The people who are trying to make us scared, let's knock them back down. We don't want to give up. That's ridiculous.
Or at least turn off those channels.
Turn off all the channels that tell us that hit them where it hurts.
Don't
give them money.
Yes.
Yeah, don't give them money.
I don't watch the news very much, except for, you know, when that happened. I wanted to see what's happening. But I think that people have to understand that peace and love can only happen when you're showing peace and love, like you said. And it can only happen if you just don't get negative.
Exactly.
That's it. You can't get negative. You have to give ideas on how this can change. You know, you can't just, like, say, oh, it has to change.
Yeah,
you
and then post it on social media and go home. Yeah.
I won't mention it.
Yeah.
Barbara, I urge you to send that poem to all 100 senators.
Mm-hmm. 1 million senators. All right, Barbara, thank you so much.
Get on. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution of Poetry Radio.
Ooh, I kind of went a little political talk show host there. Sorry about that,
no,
guys.
No. We all kind of... Well, I was trying to be very reserved because of how spirited our debate got before the show.
I appreciate it. I mean, and my thing, to be fair, wasn't about the gun stuff. It was...
Yeah.
It was about the media manipulation of the human amygdala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Someone who never manipulates the amygdala. He is Philip.
That
from
is
Kentucky.
A ridiculous introduction.
Sorry, Philip.
Philip, I'm going to have a million ridiculous introductions for you, my friend.
And we'll send them to all 1 million senators.
Well, I appreciate any introduction, so, you know, always grateful.
I got to say, the first one tonight was a dream. That one was a train wreck.
Well, I'll get to it. How about that?
All right.
before I get to it, I wanted to really say I appreciated the poem you shared written by your father. I had no idea that he was a poet, sir.
I was kind of impressed. He was kind of indoctrinated to the Marines during the Vietnam era, and they beat the poet out of him. But before he was had that done to him, he was actually running around on the fringe of the beat scene in, like, San Francisco. He would actually climb Mount Diablo out in the Bay Area with a Bota bag full of wine and a bag of Moda and write poetry.
Wow. You know, interesting. And I really, there are a couple of lines I liked in there. The one, I can't remember exactly how it went, but something with ephemeral and timelessness, or I will last, something like that. I don't know what he said. And I also really appreciate, and I may be mispronouncing the term, onomatopoeia. I don't know if that's how you go about it.
No, that's perfect. That's onomatopoeia. And I've got a couple of poems I use it too. And my father pointed out, he's like, you're using the same poetic device as I am. I'm like, yeah, Dad, I'm choosing greatness. So
it's in the genes, buddy.
I'm telling you.
In the back pocket of the genes.
If you would like to reread that poem, it's actually out on, I believe it's on Writer's Cafe. I may not have it published, but I'll hit the publish button on it to where you can see it tonight, okay?
Okay, yeah, I really appreciate that, Jay Todd. I really do. Yeah, thank you. And so I'll hop to it, and this one is called Ablutions in Iridescent Puddles. And here it goes. Cleanse my feral Caliban reflection with lacrimal water and a cloudless sun. Witness Prospero above my rippled shoulders, staring on as a father does his son, whose errant nature is difficult to correct or inspire. Calloused at times, cold even, hardships learned from survival, yet I know this is no justification for those loved ones injured, burned in the starry wake of my fiery obsessions, relentless as this fearless will, inherited from unknown genetic material, spilled wild in orange-brown autumnal fields, womanly and passionately beautiful. Choices scattered geometrically or according to statistical permutations wagered at tables of chance and demise. I do not regret, but admit as hubris, lived out with youthful effrontery, akin perhaps to St. Augustine's follies. Acquainted with my id and superego, compatible as any salient dialectic that hones thought into premises worth their weight in sweaty toil and merciful relief from indecision. With pensive, penitent palms, I reach through metaphor portals and reclaim every tear metamorphosed into seeds replanted in the hard ground that was once barren, overgrown now with flowers. And there it is, fellers.
Very well done, my friend.
I appreciate it, and I am definitely looking forward to the naughty segment of the program.
Ah.
Third, I guess, return.
You're going to turn to the dark side.
Yes.
The dark side, yes.
Going to
yes.
come to the after dark side. We've got cookies.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we're not going to say what shape they're in.
By the way.
Only Jay Todd would make cookies.
Only Jay Todd, that's right. All right, dig it, fellas. I look forward to the other poets.
Thank you. Thank you, Philip. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
Hey, guys, I just made a bunch of cookies here. Check this out. It's all a bunch of really muscly arms. Its arms making like flexing its biceps. These are great, great cookies. Yeah, that's not
yeah,
what those are.
That's not what those are.
That's not where those are.
You totally misunderstand my cookies. Anyway.
You're assuming that I want to understand your cookies.
And if my daughter were listening, she'd be rolling. But I'll explain while the break is going on.
All right.
So we do have a return engagement from a new caller. Please welcome from California. She is Chantel.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
So I got to ask, is it snowing where you're at?
Up higher by Dodge Ridge it is.
Okay.
It was snowing a little lower here a few days ago, but up by Dodge Ridge it's really snowing.
Nice. Well, you know, at least you're getting moisture. There's a lot of the state that wants that.
Yes, we're blessed.
Yeah.
So, would you like to share something with us, or did you just call in to have that nice, comfortable silence with us that we like?
I was knitting socks during that silence. So was...
The fine art of poetry is a gift.
All right.
Poetry is the living of a life to its fullest. The poet is one who is a living manifestation of the reality of life itself and the power of consequence and choices. Poetry is accountability. A poet is always intense, humble, and interested observer. Poetry does not need to be right. It is naked, thus vulnerable. Who becomes first a teacher? To teach through expression is always before performance and performed as fine art. Life takes our breath away. Poetry is gratitude in the highest form. It is stewardship of that which has been earnestly sought after, and then it reigns granted. In its offering is now that which blesses the multitudes, not only in time, but for all time. Poetry is timeless as it continues. Poetry is revelation that he is.
Awesome poem.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us. Looking forward to hearing you next week as well.
I will come up with something.
Also, I want you to know directly after the show, we're doing an After Dark segment. So if you have any more adult-themed poems... It's not PG thing, risque, work in blue as they call it. You're welcome to call back for that segment too.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a great night.
All right, thank you, Chantel.
Bye-bye.
That was Chantel on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I got to say something. I heard some noise in the background while she was doing her poem. I just want to say, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Just kidding.
Well, you know, I do want to commend you. You've been doing far less of your creepy cult leader talk tonight. I know you've been working on that.
I'm working on my...
Like someone sees you and then you just hear this, you know, nice wistful acoustic guitar and flute in the background and you look at people and make great eye contact and say, hello, welcome to our family.
I have not done that at all tonight.
No, you have not. You've not.
You've been a very good boy.
You've not seductively welcomed people to our family the moment you've talked to them. I know it's a hard thing.
It is. I'm trying my best. All right. So, from California, we're going to go up the coastline and go all the way to Canada. Please welcome for her second time tonight, she is Cynthia.
It's a boot respect.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you?
I'm really enjoying the show tonight. I think it's really a tribute to the power of poetry that it invites so much discussion and debate.
Yes.
And also, I was really impressed with Michael's comment, too, about not letting fear win.
Yes.
And so my next poem is also along the lines of what Michael was encouraging, focus on the good. So this poem is another spiritual one. And it's about the feminine aspects of the divine. It's called Her Presence. Where the spirit breathes, I try to follow. This world a gift, she walks through, calm and dignity. She blows cool wind on my cheeks. She takes my hand, leads me through how my life could be. God is woman, an old woman, who sits and watches her children playing. Wrinkles etched in her skin, quietly she rests in the earth. Hers is the knowledge of all things, for she has grown an elder. The spirit dances. She moves inside me, and I dance with her. And when we are tired, we laugh. With her fingertips, she brushes the hair off my face. Her touch is gentle. I am not afraid, for she is within me. In quiet times, she rests beside me. This life now ending, she holds me, softly singing, and I go to sleep in her womb and palm.
Always a big fan of the feel and the imagery in your poetry.
Thank you so much.
I loved hearing you on other radio shows. I love hearing you on our show. That makes me the most happy. But I could listen to you read poetry for a full night if you were to do like a college engagement here in town.
I would love to do that next time. I'm really hoping to come to your festival next September.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
That would be amazing.
You get to slap J. Todd in person.
Yes. Instead of, you know, just...
And you'll have plenty of warning as far as when it happens.
Right. And I've also... This is a secret. I'm also working on getting a dunk tank set up so you can...
That's fabulous.
Dunk the poet.
Of course. Ooh. Dunk the poet.
Yep.
Wonder how much money we can raise. Anyway, we're not going to go into that.
Remember that time people kept knocking into a thing of Jell-O, J. Todd? That was a good festival.
That was a great festival. Cynthia, thank you very much for calling our show. I hope we hear from you next week. Or during After Dark, too.
I'll be listening to After Dark.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the forum.
Thank you. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say... I do a lot of research on poetry podcasts and whatnot, especially the last 2 weeks. I've been doing a ton.
Yeah.
We do not sound like your typical poetry show.
That's a surprise.
No, seriously. I mean, there are poetry disc jockeys that they could be on local jazz station.
They're always PR station. Really cool, chill. Yeah, absolutely.
And we're kind of like the morning show of poetry shows.
Yeah, well, I think that's... But the funny thing is it's not fake. It's just how it happens.
It's just we're crazy.
We're absolutely...
Should we be alive as opposed to humdrum?
I don't look at the jazz jocks and the NPR jocks as humdrum.
That's true. They aren't.
There is a niche for... There's a spot for all of us.
There is.
I love the term disc jockey. It just came into my head, and I just broke it down in my head.
Well, because MP3 jockey just never really
I just love that.
The guy plays
records and talks in a microphone and is broadcasting. He's a disc jockey. So that would make me a computer jockey.
Yeah.
Or if like I was a pilot, I'd be like a jet jockey.
Well,
what is this Rat Pack?
I know we're a live show, but some would call this we're podcasters. I don't look at us as podcasters. We are a live broadcast.
Yeah,
we just happen to keep all our episodes online.
Yeah, no, we're broadcasters. A podcaster just makes it for a release. It's not a live thing.
However, I'm becoming a podcaster very soon, but we're going to go into that later.
You're already a podcaster. J. Todd's Basement.
Yeah.
See?
Never mind. You're right. I say corrected. Are you reading a submission, my friend?
Not right now. I'm not. But I have one ready.
I have a poem ready. Shall we do one each?
Or should we read them at the same time and see which one's the strongest?
You know what?
Oh, great. Epic.
That would be awesome.
Epic poetry battle.
We're having a poetry battle right here on our show.
Actually, we need to figure out how to make that work.
You will.
I've been trying to convince, for everybody listening, I've been trying to convince JT to join me. I'm about to take up competitive fencing.
I'm on the fence. I think I'm going to.
Yeah, you think? Okay. Well, I mean, come with me for the beginning, and if you don't like it, if we both get there and it sucks, we'll leave.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll go have a steak somewhere.
And I have an idea for what I will do when I get my own foil.
Well, the thing I figure is that this is the only way that you and I, as grown men, can put on armor. Have swords, sword fight, and have it be completely acceptable.
Right.
And not be the kind of people that I see at the Renaissance Festival that make me go, oh.
However, JT is the type of person you see at the Renaissance Festival.
I know. But I can't go. I go to the Renaissance Festival and I see people trying and I just stand there for a minute and go, I want to like this. And I like elements of it. But most of this is really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. That's the issue I have.
You want to know why I go to the Renaissance Festival? There's four words.
What?
Steak on a steak. Hell yeah.
You know, I could make you that at home. Just get me a steak and a steak.
Oh. Hey, Michael, what you got for us?
What you got for us? Save us from this insanity.
What an incredible sound every time I
know. I know, but it's like, I'm Italian. I got to slap something when I laugh. Okay, here we go.
So, can I give you a few suggestions?
Ha, ha, ha! Ah! Yeah, all right. Just give me an intern. I'll slap him. All right. Okay. I'm going to get serious up because this is not a funny poem.
All right.
Okay, this is from Ashley Arita. And I think she's a new poet sending this in to us. It's called Fires Blazing. Red and hot, like a chili pepper. Its legs and arms dance to the sound of music which blazes across the sea. Its yellow core, similar to the earth, makes a sound of pure hatred, like a thundercloud rolling. Moving to the beat, the heat-filled, sweaty music, eager to invite others to the sound it's listening to, so it touches its people. The people dance too. The beat of a hot-filled cavern. How exciting. How amazing. There are thousands of people dancing to the same amazing beat of volcanoes and running. A huge party is here, standing its point. This is where the party is. Suddenly, could it be? The government forces. The blue-eyed people race over like roadrunners, their feet strong with vigor. They run like a river. They jump like a waterfall. Oh, how frightening. We the people must get away. We must be free. We run, but we can't escape the amazing beat of smoke and flames like a pot overflowing. The blue eyes punch and kick us. Slowly we die. We lose our beat. We lose our mind. We lose our life. We are nothing more than the ground of the earth. The gravel blows in the wind, like a mother letting go of her child. And that is Fires Blazing by Ashley Arita. And she contributed by going to the site and sending it in through the contact form.
Nice. Ashley, thank you. That was an amazing poem.
I
hope you keep either submitting or I hope you call our show and share one that way.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right. So I'm going to set this one up a little bit. My mother died in 2011, January. Come April 2012, we're in the midst of Poetry Month, and I make it an effort. My first moments of each day, I sit in front of my computer and type out a poem. Normally, I'll get up, I'll brew a pot of coffee, and I'll go at it. This one came on April 12th, and I didn't even brew coffee. I didn't put my headphones on and start any music. I just started typing because I was waking up from a dream, and this actually happened. This is entitled The Dream Code, and it's an interlocking rubaiyat for those following along with forms. I probably never will understand the code. It may eventually make my head explode. One which came to me at the end of a dream. It was a loved one who passed that it showed. It's certainly crazy, or so it would seem, text spilling forth, ream after ream. I remember it flashing in front of my mind, this code that I saw at the end of my dream. Too quick for me to comprehend, I now find, this code that was flashed to my dream state mind. Something on which to ponder and think, but still, in my head, this code is left undefined. Something to be left unspoken to my shrink, this code that went by in merely a blink, that is something that I never will forget and might be like the key to some missing link. Let the numbers in a quick running set, that I still don't see a pattern in as of yet, still startled from the visit from heaven above, and shocked from the return of my growing regret. These kinds of mysteries I certainly love, and finding the answers that are thereof. I may never truly understand the code, but I consider it a message from heaven above. And literally, as I was coming out of a dream, it was almost like the Matrix letters that were flashing in front of my head. And the dream I had was of my mother. And I'm beginning, even now, in retrospect, that text, whatever it was something important that she was trying to show me. Or I've done too much acid in my life. One or the other, I'm not sure which.
I would be willing to bet a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It was a good poem, though.
Yeah, really very good. Like it very good.
And I want to correct myself. I said 4/12 of 2012. It's 4/15 2012. So tax day.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy. Right. Wow. I remember that, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Man.
All right.
It's just hard to know what to say about that.
Is that the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper?
I think we're about to go to the dark side, everybody.
All right. So if you're listening along and you have family listening, now is the time you're probably going to want to tune out. We're going to be going adult after this. For Michael, JT, and myself, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We will be back very shortly. Good night, Robert Mortley, wherever you're at.